Welcome to Groundwire Community Radio News, brought to you by volunteers at Canada's campus and community radio stations. This episode of Groundwire was produced on Anishinaabe territory of the Fort William First Nations at CILU in Thunder Bay, Ontario. I'm your host and producer, Carly Forbes. In this episode,
I'm here today because 27 years ago, my mother went missing for 7 weeks, and we still, to this day, don't know what happened to her.
The power of your ceremonies to reach across the land to the far oceans on the other side, to galvanize the spirit and the strength of all of our Indigenous people across the territories to stand together, because our fight begins now.
But why should a person with a disability have to go through 10 different doors to get everyday service needs met? Why should we live in poverty?
A feature on the March for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women in Montreal. A report from the Federal Election Accessibility and Disability Forum, hosted by Community Independent Living in Toronto at Ryerson University. And live audio and report back from the United Against Enbridge Solidarity Rally that took place on Coast Salish territories on October 1st. But first, here are the headlines. Isabel O'Kanice is walking from coast to coast across Turtle Island to spread lateral love and speak out against lateral violence. CILU's J.L. Chung had a chance to speak with her during her visit to Thunder Bay.
I'm Isabel Louise O'Kanice. I'm Oji Cree from the Turtle Clan. My family originated from O'Kanice Reserve in southern Saskatchewan, and roughly 100 years ago, my family was disenfranchised from the reserve, so I'm a non-status Indian. Well, currently I'm doing a walk. It's called Mio Wichitawin Walk, and that's Cree for living in harmony together, to bring awareness to lateral violence in our Aboriginal communities. And I'm asking Aboriginal people across Canada to return to lateral love. And lateral violence can be described as, instead of uniting and fighting the oppression, we perpetuate the oppression within our communities. A lot of this behavior is learned through colonization, and it can be described as bullying, slut-shaming, ostracizing, rejection, withholding information. So I'm asking people to go back to that thinking of love, of taking care of one another, that we're all family, that we're all beautiful, and that we can experience each other's cultures and respect each other's diversity. And lateral love is in ourselves, and so if we awaken that, we actually know how to love one another. Lateral violence encompasses all the emotional, mental, physical, spiritual, and I'll even say sexual abuse. Knowledge is power. There are a lot of people working on lateral violence, but it's mostly within organizations, and it's within, say, Train the Trainer. This walk is to bring awareness to the general public. The Aboriginals in Australia have started the Lateral Love Movement. As I move across Canada, I'll ask people to go back to being a loving person. As the health of Aboriginal people and Indigenous people around the world decreases, so does the wealth and health of Mother Earth. If we take care of each other and bring our health up, and I feel that by saving us, we're saving humanity and Mother Earth. So you can go to the web page, miowichitawin.webs.com, and I'll spell miowichitawin. It's spelled miowichitawin. Or you can email me, miowichitawinwalk@gmail.com.
Our next headline was written by Groundwire National Coordinator Ome Selma Rahimtula. Last Monday, Canada, along with 11 other Pacific countries, reached the final deal of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP, a trade deal that has been negotiated outside the public eye in complete secrecy. Though the full text of the TPP is not likely to be released until November 4th or later, we do know that it includes 12 countries and 40% of the global economy. According to the Council of Canadians, the deal includes an investor-state dispute settlement provision that gives corporations the power to sue national governments for loss of future profits. Related to public interest legislation, most commonly focused on the protection of the environment. Friends of the Earth says that the provision is a ticking time bomb for climate policy because many government policies that are put in place to address global warming are subject to lawsuits by corporations under the provision. Another major concern for many Canadians in the deal is that the changes it will bring to the regulation of intellectual property of pharmaceutical drugs. The proposed changes allow for longer exclusivity periods for drugs and changes to current practices of generic drugs that will especially put pressure on the budgets of poorer countries. These changes will effectively put corporate profits ahead of interests of the well-being of patients, regulatory independence, and sound public health policy. For example, in Vietnam, the poorest country in the TPP, it has been estimated that 45,000 people could stop getting drugs to fight HIV because the TPP provision will boost the price of therapy. According to Stephen Harper, the deal will likely come up for ratification in Parliament in early 2016. And with the text not yet released and its implications on Canadians unknown, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is fast becoming an important election campaign issue. That's it for the headlines. We'll be right back after this. You just heard Blue of Noon by Christy Lane Sinclair from her album Dark Matter. Now it's time for our feature stories. Community Independent Living Toronto organized a federal election accessibility and disability forum at Ryerson University. The forum was organized by and for people with disabilities to make their voices and issues heard by politicians in the upcoming federal election. Karen Llewellyn brings us this report.
It is arguably the most important part of federal election season, next to voting. Ordinary Canadians meeting with party candidates and asking about the issues that matter to them.
So the ground rules, please be respectful of the candidates and one another. Do not use any foul or offensive language. The moderator has the right and the responsibility to ensure respectful discussion from all participants.
That's John Mercer. He's Independent Skills Coordinator for Toronto's Centre for Independent Living. What made this particular gathering unique is that most of the organizers and many in the audience have disabilities. The Centre for Independent Living Toronto and their community partners, including Arch Disability Law Centre, the Alliance for the Equality of Blind Canadians, Citizens with Disabilities Ontario, and others, staged this forum, hoping that at least a few of the estimated 4 million Canadians living with a disability could be heard. Event spokesperson David Myers with Birchmont Bluff Neighbourhood Centre says, a 2012 Canadian survey may show that 14% of the population has a disability, but that doesn't mean that they are reflected in party platforms.
We looked at some of the platforms already before actually having the forum. So we knew there's not very much there on the radar for disability, and we knew the platforms were very thin. And so we didn't come in expecting a lot, actually. And it was very challenging to get candidates in the first place from the parties to actually come out and speak.
In fact, only three of Canada's four political parties took part. The Conservatives declined the invitation entirely. That left the Green, Liberal, and NDP party candidates facing the audience. A lot of the questions addressed topics that would be on the minds of many Canadians under the same circumstances. Income and employment.
What are your party's anti-poverty and employment strategies for people with disabilities?
Tax credits.
And do you support a refundable disability tax credit?
And housing concerns.
What is your party's accessible and affordable housing strategy?
Then there were the people who just wanted a concrete solution to a serious problem. Instead of more conversations, however, the community partners behind this forum would rather see some very specific actions, such as ratifying the alternative protocol to the UN Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. That's been the law in Canada since 2010. But it really can't be enforced right now. Also, creating a Canadians with Disabilities Act, which organizers say may remove many of the barriers and confusion that disabled Canadians encounter daily. David Myers, for one, was glad to find the parties participating were committed to that goal.
So what we heard was all of the three parties would be actually fighting to get that in place, because again, that means standard legislation across the country, which is really needed right now, because they're all a patchwork quilt of accessibility acts in different provinces.
Myers admits the audience might not have left feeling especially encouraged by their evening with the Green, Liberal, and NDP party candidates. Forum organizers know there's still a lot of work to be done, that they must collectively keep governmental feet to the fire every day for things to change. But there were people in the audience needing that change right now.
But why should a person with a disability have to go through 10 different doors to get everyday service needs met? Why should we live in poverty? Food banks are not sustainable when you get maggots in your potatoes. Let's get real. People are hurting, facing needs, and have serious issues that need to be addressed. What are you going to do to ensure that these things are deliverable to the people and we are not nickel and dime any longer so we all can live in an inclusive society?
For Groundwire Community News, I'm Karen Llewellyn with Common Ground Media.
Thank you to Karen Llewellyn. Eight different First Nations are taking Enbridge to court to oppose the Northern Gateway pipeline. On October 1st, the first day of hearings, community members gathered in front of the federal courthouse in Vancouver to show solidarity and support. Many elected and hereditary chiefs were present at the rally, including Grand Chief of Manitoba, Derek Nepinak, as well as Grand Chief of Kanasatake, Sergei Simon. Gennarchi O'Sullivan brings us this report from Co-op Radio, CFRO, on Coast Salish territories in Vancouver.
We were over at United Against Enbridge Pipeline covering some of the biggest issues, and our chiefs, Chief Nepinak was there,
yeah,
Grand Chief from Manitoba.
Yeah, Grand Chief Stuart Phillip was there as well from UBCIC, so was Don and Bob Chamberlain.
Mm-hmm.
We had chiefs out from Sequot Makuluk as well.
We had Hereditary Chief Robert Thomas, who's
right
in the studio with us today.
And then we had some chiefs from Treaty 8 area as well.
Yeah, and also Grand Chief Serge Otsi Simon, who is from Kanasatagi. Remember the old Oka crises?
That's right.
and all of the chiefs gathered from east to west and stood in solidarity and said, "We are now joined from east to west. There's no stopping us now."
This is something that we don't see quite enough. And listening to all the songs, listening to the spirit of each and every one of us that was there, from our elders right down to our youth. We had kids that were there who were 4, 5, 6 years old. And listening to the testimonies of the people, what the people had to share in regards to this, we don't want to damage our lands and everything like that. And, you know, this oil company that's out there, Enbridge, well, we're there with the objective to voice ourselves. And the Wanak tribe is there to voice ourselves, to say no to that oil company.
Yeah, you made your presence known. You were there representing your people. In fact, you sang a couple of songs for the people, and I was telling others around me, this is the Wanak tribe. And they're like, the Wanak what? And I go, the Wanak tribe. They've been deemed extinct, but here they are standing up and voicing their opinions and their songs, standing in solidarity with the rest of us. Florence, you're an elder. You're 69 years old. Can you tell us what impressed you the most today about the rally?
Well, you know, at the beginning, I was afraid to say anything. But as I got further on into what I was thinking, and I was really happy to be there to witness and be part of the rally, and it gave me strength and letting me know that we don't stand alone when we need to be voiced. We need to voice something like what the Wanak tribe is going through right now. And so it gave me strength to move forward, and I was very happy to be there. And I was so very proud because my grandchildren, four of them, were taken out of school and brought there to witness what was going on, the rally. And they were part of the Wanak tribe. So one of my grandsons says, "Oh, is this what you call the idol no more?" And I says, "Yes, we're speaking for our rights."
My name is Derek Napanak. I'm the Grand Chief of the Assembly of Manitoba Chiefs in what's called, today's called Manitoba. It's such a great honor to be here among such powerful community of people, such powerful nations of people. I want to thank the hereditary leadership, all the leadership who are here, the elders, the young ones, everyone who's standing up and warrioring up for this very, very momentous occasion. My message for you today is, no matter what happens on paper, no matter what happens within the four walls of a courtroom, you are stronger than that. Your ceremonies and your songs cannot be contained within these high mountains here that we've crossed to be here with you. Your message travels across the land, over the mountains, over the waterways, and it's spilling onto the plains where I come from. Your prayers are strong. That's why we're here. That's what's brought us here.
Yes.
Thank you. Do not underestimate the power of your ceremonies to reach across the land to the far oceans on the other side, to galvanize the spirit and the strength of all of our Indigenous people across the territories to stand together, because our fight begins now.
There you go. My name is Sir Utzi Simon. I'm the Grand Chief of Ganesadage, which you know as Oka. I really, like I said, what an honor and a rare privilege it's been for me to come all the way down here and meet with your people, meet with your chiefs, and possibly form an alliance. Now, I represent some of the finest people I've ever known. They're strong, they're proud, and they don't let themselves get pushed around, as you saw 25 years ago. We don't want to see another Woka. We don't get up in the morning thinking we're going to create some kind of havoc or
we're not the enemy of the Canadian people, like Mr. Harper and his group would like like his people to believe. Like to point out the First Nations, they're the reason. That's why you got your lot in life. It's because of them. No, not at all. Our principles of treaty making with them in the past, going back to the first contact, was always one of sharing and of mutual respect. Why would that change now? I've been standing here, I'm looking around, and I'm looking at all of you, and I smile, and I'm looking and looking, and I'm thinking, what a great story I'm going to have to take home with me. Of all these great people. I'm even prouder still to be here to witness a great people stand up to great and corrupt power. That to me is, it's incredible. Like I said, I'm going to have a great story to bring back to my community. And the alliance is going to be very clear between our East and West. That if you mess with the West, you mess with the East.
Thank you to Kennard G. O'Sullivan for that report. Every year on October 4th, Sisters in Spirit holds vigils across Turtle Island to honor the lives of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls, and also to support the families and loved ones by providing a space to heal. A march took place in Montreal. CKUT's Claudia Edwards brings us live recordings from this year's Sisters in Spirit Vigil.
Could you tell me your name?
Lisa Gibson.
And why are you here today, Lisa?
I'm here today because 27 years ago, my mother went missing for 7 weeks. And we still, to this day, don't know what happened to her. We just found her body in the woods, decomposed. And to this day, we still don't have any answers as to what happened. And more and more, we're seeing more of our women going missing. And nobody's doing anything about it. Heads are just being turned and no one wants to answer to anything.
Thank you for sharing. I'm wondering if you feel like this march could impact the upcoming election platform in any way.
I am hoping so. I'm hoping that it's now time for the government to see that things need to change. And I mean, in this country, there's so many more people that have more rights than we do, and we are from here. We are the original people, and we need to start to see a change. And I hope there is somebody who is running for the election that will stand for us and to change these things.
Thank you. Thank you very much for being here today. Thank you for sharing our stories, marching with us, feeling our pain, and telling the government what we've been saying for years, that we need a national inquiry into missing and murdered Indigenous women. I started this 10 years ago after doing a story on the Highway of Tears, and I had 30 people at my vigil. To all the women and men who come out here today to show your support and tell Stephen Harper, are we on your radar yet? Because as far as I'm concerned, we've been on his radar and he's been ignoring us. Well, in 15 days, we can change that. In 15 days, we can give Stephen Harper his pink slip and kick him out of 24 Sussex Drive, I will do it personally. Because, let's face it, any man who says, who's a leader, who calls himself an honorable man, calls himself an honorable man and says that a segment of the population of his country does not matter, is not fit to lead. We're tired of misogyny. We're tired of victim blaming. I am tired of seeing missing and murdered Indigenous women on my Facebook feed every single day. I'm done dealing with this. I'm done with politicians who ignore us. We were here first, and yet we are always thought of last. And that is unacceptable, because we are part of this nation, and we deserve respect, we deserve equality, we deserve clean water, better housing. We deserve not to have to go to funerals every damn day. Our children are in the foster care system, number in the thousands. It's worse than the residential schools, because now they've made it laws where it's legal to take our children from us. This government, and previous governments, have destroyed our culture so badly that there is so much pain in our communities that we don't know how to let go. And that needs to change. I ask all of our young men that are here, stand shoulder to shoulder with the women in your communities. Stand shoulder to shoulder with them and tell them that I have your back. Because I am so tired of a man so smug that he can look at any one of our victims, any one of our missing women, and say, you don't matter. Well, I'm going to tell Stephen Harper one thing and one thing only, and that is, Stephen Harper, you don't matter. We are done with inept leaders. We need leaders, and I see leaders all in front of me here. All of you are leaders. All of you will go back to your families. All of you will talk to your friends, and all of you will share the stories that you've heard today. Because we need you. We need Canadians to stop with the apathy, stop with the stereotypes. We need love. We need support. We need equality. Because everyone knows that good will always triumph over evil. Thank you very much.
Thank you to Claudia Edwards of CKUT for that report. That's it for this edition of Groundwire, produced on Anishinaabe territory of the Fort William First Nations at CILU in Thunder Bay, Ontario. I'm Carly Forbes, and headlines this week were written by Ome Selma Rahimtula and J.L. Chung. We also thank Gennarji O'Sullivan, Claudia Edwards, and Karen Llewellyn. Tune in again to hear Groundwire on your local community radio station, or download at groundwire.ncra.ca. Groundwire is a project of the members of the National Campus and Community Radio Association.